the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, first, it's been a good week for the UK's Labour Party as Keir Starmer moves into number 10 Downing Street. Some newspaper headlines, a lot obviously, as you'd imagine. This morning, British and Irish newspapers, the Irish Times says Starmer vows to be force for good after landslide win across Britain. The Irish Independent, Starmer win will ease Ireland's migrant crisis. The Irish Examiner, reset for Anglo-Irish relations. And the Financial Times says the work of change begins today. Well, whatever about a Labour government, what will it mean for business and finance? Broadcaster Enda Brady has been covering the election and Labour's plans for the future, and he joins me now. Good morning, Enda. The initial reaction of financial markets to the Labour win has been positive, but for Keir Starmer, he has an uphill battle on the public finances and funding the kinds of policy changes he wants to make.
Good morning, Richard. Well, look, he's inherited a complete basket case. That's why he was elected, because people here had reached breaking point, I think, with the Conservatives. There was a lot of anger in the public because everything is broken in Britain. If you look around, you cannot find a dentist for love nor money. You can't get a hospital appointment. There's 7.5 million people in England waiting for hospital treatment. There are no GP appointments. Public transport is really poor. In some places, you cannot swim in the rivers. You can't go in the sea because the water companies have pumped sewage out. I could go on and on. Prisons
and,
are overcrowded.
You're painting a hell of a bleak picture there. It couldn't possibly be that bad, could it?
It is. No, it is. It is, Richard. Let's be frank. He has inherited a complete basket case of a country. His conundrum now is there is no money, so how does he fix it?
Well, that level of dysfunctionality that you describe, I mean, I was listening to radio during the election campaign, and when the Labour Party announced that they were going to have a decade of renewal, one pundit said we'd settle for an afternoon of basic competence, which kind of reflected the disillusionment that was there.
Yeah, I think it's right. Look, we've had one steady day so far. What I thought was really interesting yesterday, I was in Westminster yesterday, I was broadcasting all day, it was the speed and the competency of even unveiling his cabinet and who was getting what jobs. Now, for years and years and years, we've seen people go in and then they would basically sit down with a Conservative Prime Minister, whether it was Johnson or Truss for her little 6 weeks that she was in, or Sunak, and basically negotiate. And you know, and this was like because they all owed each other something, or they all felt they were entitled to something better than the cabinet position they were being given. Starmer yesterday, it was like clockwork. They walked in, they walked out. You know, Rachel Reeves, for example, she knew she was going to be Chancellor. In, shake hands, picture, come out. So we had a competent afternoon.
The first female Chancellor of the Exchequer, how is she viewed, and what has she been saying will be the priorities for her?
She's viewed as a safe pair of hands, first of all. I mean, she came from the Bank of England. She studied politics, philosophy and economics at Oxford. She has an incredible track record in public service. Working for the Bank of England, she understands money. And her priority is, she has a phrase, securenomics. So, look, there's not going to be any of the glitz and the glamour and the zip wires that we had under Johnson and others. It's going to be blandly boring. But a lot of people would say that, you know, between her and Starmer, they are exactly what Britain needs right now. I mean, just basic competence, do your job, get on with it. And as Starmer said yesterday, the one word I picked out with the speech, because he kept saying it, and that was the message in that speech yesterday, service. He's here to serve.
In terms of tackling some of those problems and introducing the policy agenda that Labour wants to, they need to have money to do it in the public purse. They can raise taxes. Very unpopular. British citizens are already taxed at one of the highest rates that they have been in many, many years. He can borrow more money. The days of really, really flash borrowing and using cheap borrowing to solve problems or attempt to solve problems seems to be gone. He seems to be focusing on the third option, which is to grow the economy. But real growth in the economy is proving very, very difficult for the UK.
Yes, and every single Prime Minister who comes in for, I've been living here 31 years now, came over here after the Leaving Cert. Every single British Prime Minister that comes in, they all say they want to grow the economy, these magic buzzwords, and very, very few of them manage to do it. It's flatlining along. It should be way further ahead. You know, Britain is a very strange country sometimes in that all of the wealth seems to be concentrated in London and in little pockets. There are pockets of wealth outside of London, but London seems to be the beating heart of the country, and it's, I guess, the same in many countries. But what Starmer needs to do is figure out a way of getting revenue in to government, getting money in that they can build and actually go out there and say, put the message out to the world that, you know, competency has come back to Britain. It's a good place to invest. You know, a lot of companies, all the young people, they all want to be in London. All the educated people, they all want to come to London and live the London life. So Starmer needs to find money. And I think there's a couple of key revenue streams that he will go after. Private schools here are going to be hit with VAT. That is absolutely happening. You will have heard a lot of chatter from the middle classes here, how angry they are and how this is outrageous. Starmer said, basically, you're getting a service and VAT is a tax on services. Why should you be exempt? So he's doing that. He's also going to go after people called the non-DOMs, people who basically want to live in the UK and not pay tax here. Sunak's wife was actually one of them up until that got discovered. And she's a phenomenally wealthy lady. So that's the plan. VAT on private schools and revenue them from these non-DOMs who want to be here and not contribute.
The scale of the Labour Party majority, Enda, looks very, very significant. It was a massive shift and a massive swing in terms of the outcome of the election. However, it might not be as deep or as robust as it appears to be from the outside. For example, I'm thinking about Reform UK, which only won 5 seats, but they got something like 3.5 million votes and they came second in 98 constituencies. Is that a real omen sign for the future and the fact that things might be more fragile for this government than it would first appear?
Look, I think, first of all, the results are the results, and Labour won. Whatever anyone says about shallow victory margins or voting patterns and what if this had happened, what if that had happened, the Conservatives are out. Labour are in, 412 seats. Starmer can pretty much do what he wants for the next 5 years. And I think he would be in power for at least a decade. So you're going to get used to, you're probably going to get bored of hearing him because he's not a very charismatic speaker, but he is here to work and to serve and to try and fix all the many problems in the UK. So I think, you know, the voting patterns, the one key statistic that all the Conservatives were coming out with on any of my broadcasts yesterday is that he only got 1.5% more than Jeremy Corbyn. And that is true. 5 years ago, the data they're drilling down
but
into
still,
it already.
He still won the election and he still has a very powerful majority, and that's what's going to count in governing. Enda Brady, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning.